Hello, our geekish compadres. Welcome to another Get Geekish podcast. I'm Bino, joined by Derek, for another half hour or so of us rambling of the geekishness that is our lives. And this week, we're going to talk about something I'm super, super excited about.
Just you?
The Borderlands.
Just you?
Well, yeah, you're excited too.
Well, in Borderlands, so as a concept used by professional historians, Borderlands, quote-unquote, dates back to the 1920s, when historian Herbert Eugene Bolton examined the Spanish colonial possessions in North America from California to Florida that eventually became part of the United States.
You and I have very different definitions of what Borderlands is. We're talking about the game.
Oh, we're not doing a history lesson?
No. We're talking about the Gearbox Borderlands 3, which at the time of recording, it comes out in about 5 hours from now. Tiny Tina, one of my favorite characters ever. Goes the
bandit. There you go. That Borderlands. Okay.
Yes, if you've never played Borderlands before, you should give it a shot. It's a first-person shooter, a loot-and-shoot game, and it's the first one came out, what, probably 7 years ago, 8 years ago?
2009?
10 years ago. Okay. A while back. And it's a very simplistic game, but it's based on some crude, vulgar humor and picking up all sorts of crazy guns and loot boxes and stuff like that. You can play multiplayer. And it's got the very cool cel shading, which we'll get to later in the podcast, has spawned an entire, genre of cosplayers to go after Borderlands-style costumes.
Well, and here's the thing, too. So back when Borderlands first came out, it was suggested to me, and I played Borderlands 1 for maybe 45 minutes, and I found it to be very grindy.
Yes.
And it wasn't until Borderlands 2, when I actually played with other people, that I got more into it and actually loved it. I think the problem was with Borderlands 1, I didn't know what to expect. The art style was a little weird to me, which it was kind of a little weird to a lot of people, especially for a first-person shooter. And it just throws you into it.
Yeah, there's no like, oh, here's the tutorial round. It's like, here you go, kill some stuff.
Yeah, they kind of just start the story with like, you're a vault hunter, go. And I'm like, wait, what? So I'm going for it. And, you know, I was also not as mature as I am now. So, but I remember playing it and being like, what is going on? And like, by grindy, I mean, the way Borderlands goes, it is a leveling up type of game. You go to an area, you wipe out enemies, you leave that area, you go back to that same area. If you have to backtrack, all those enemies are right back to where they were. And different parts of the map has higher level enemies, so you kind of need to grind to get the level up, which playing by yourself is just...
And some of the quests are super fun, but sometimes there are monotonous ones where you find a side quest like, oh, you need to take the backpack from this dead guy and go bring it to this person on the entire other side of the map. Good, you brought her the map. Guess what? Now you need to bring something back to the person that gave you the map and then bring something back to me and you're done. This is, it like makes a lot of like monotonous travel and killing things.
And I think that's why I lost interest in the first one is because it was that. I just went through this area, killed everybody. Now everybody's back. They're higher level. What?
Yeah.
type of thing. But with Borderlands 2, something was different about it. I don't know what it is, but...
I feel with Borderlands 2, it was they let the characters tell more of the story.
Yeah, maybe.
Like Borderlands 1, there were characters there, but it was a loot and shoot game and these characters happened to be there. And the second one, the characters all had very distinct personalities and it had the handsome Jack villain, which you just wanted to hate. Like in the game, he loved being such a D-bag to everyone on the planet that you just couldn't wait to off him sometime in the game. A couple times, if I recall.
Well, yeah. And then, you know, they did the pre-sequel, which kind of gave backstory on the handsome Jack and all that jazz, which was pretty cool.
I like that because it was a completely different than the other games, which a lot of people were let down by because they just wanted another version of the shooter, but it was a storytelling, different the graphics, different play style, stuff like that.
Was the pre-sequel was the one where we went to space, right?
Yes.
Okay. But then, I mean, Borderlands 2 also had fantastic DLC, Tiny Tina's Dungeon, whatever.
Yeah, Tiny Tina's Escape from Dungeon, or the Dungeon one.
Basically, it's a Dungeons & Dragons game.
And the commentary on the Tiny Tina expansion Borderlands 2, possibly one of my favorite video game pieces of all time.
And I did give Borderlands another try. I bought it. I haven't played it yet, though. the first one, because they remastered it. So I was like, yay! And it was cheap. But Borderlands 3 is probably going to take up a lot of my time.
Yeah, and the reviews are starting to come out because they put a kibosh in the reviews. There's been a bunch of drama surrounding Gearbox and their owners or whatever. But I'm not diving into that for this. We're just talking about the game itself. And they had an embargo on a lot of the reviews. They had all the people that were testing it that could see the game, but they didn't let anybody publish any reviews until, I believe, was it this week or last week they started filtering in?
I think it was this week.
And most of the reviews seem to make it, this is a pretty solid game. The reviews aren't, it's the greatest game ever, but I read through probably a dozen of them today. And the overall feeling I got from a bunch of these reviews were, well, it's kind of like Borderlands 2 and Borderlands 1, so if you really like Borderlands, it's more of the same, you'll probably like it. I'm like, how is that a bad thing?
That's like going to the movies and going, yeah, if you liked Captain America and Iron Man, you might like the Avengers. I mean, you know, something.
Yeah, and that's what most reviews are saying. It's, you know, it's more of the same stuff, but I think if they have a lot of the things that I love from the previous Borderlands, all I want is more of it.
Well, that's the thing, is that if it's not broke, don't fix it. Mm-hmm. Just improve on it. Which
from the sounds of things, I was reading on the characters, they've got the four new characters. I still miss my Gunzerker because I love my Gunzerker from Borderlands.
And that's the thing, that's one thing I do like about Borderlands, is each game has different characters to go with. And yeah, they might add some DLC ones later on, but like the first one didn't even have a Gunzerker. Mm. You know, they still had the Siren. There we go. My brain. Yeah,
Lilith.
Yeah. And then in the second one, they had Maya. Mm-hmm. And then in this one, it looks like they improved on the Siren. So they have different classes, which is great, but
yeah,
your Gunzerker is definitely you. So
yeah. And so for this one, they've got Mose, who he has the ability to bring a walking two-legged mech. So she's basically a little tank girl / diva. And she can call these things in. Then there's Zane, who's a hitman with drones that can make a hologram of himself. Reminds me of a hologram guy from Apex Legends. And then Flack is a robot that can summon different pets to fight alongside him. And Amara is a new siren who has some telekinetic techniques where she can grab energy and pound on the ground with giant kinetic fists that pop out from behind her body.
See, I usually play Siren, mm-hmm. but the Beastmaster one where you can call in little people or little monsters, that just sounds like fun.
Honestly, these all sound good. And that was what I will say with Borderlands 2. I loved it, but outside of the other characters, the Siren looked cool. I love the Gunzerker, but I never really got excited about wanting to play Zero for some reason. A lot of people love Zero.
Yeah.
But I didn't really like his play style very much. And the other one was the girl with the shield, right?
I don't remember. Yeah. I remember that one of the DLC was Krieg, who is the big...
I'm thinking of the other DLC one.
You're thinking of the juice up, and then the Necromancer.
Yes.
She was fun to play. But yeah, there was what was the other one? Anyway.
Yeah. Oh, the guy with the turret.
Yeah.
The Soldier 76, yeah. Basically. Yeah. but all four of these characters look like they could be really fun to play, and a lot of the reviews in the gameplay talking about this is they've upped the skill trees on them, so each player... You could actually make different builds of each player with these trees much easier, and you can decide to change that. They said there's skills, you can use some of your coins and go back in your skill tree and go back a different direction in the skill tree, or set up your character to have this skill tree when you're playing alone and this skill tree when you're playing with multiple people. And the one reviewer that said it's basically, you could have two people that are the exact same character that do completely different things and have different roles on your team to do together.
Which makes sense.
Customizability.
Yeah. Well, one of my favorite parts of Borderlands 2, and you've hinted on it, is the humor.
Mm-hmm.
Tiny Tina's back in this one, which is great. Claptrap is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
His one-off lines and everything like that is quite funny, actually.
It's like a sarcastic robot. It's like if you had the scriptwriters for Deadpool take over for Marvin the Paranoid Android and GLaDOS, and then threw them into a little motor scooter that follows you around and throws parties.
Right. Claptrap's voice from 1 and 2 is not going to be the same in 3, but that's, again...
Yeah, they can make it close.
That's again, something that we're not going to go into. You can research that on yourself. But 3 seem... the whoever they got for 3 seems somewhat close.
And let's be honest, it's a little tiny robot in a game. Yeah. So one script of text at the beginning, Claptrap, you sound different. I got an upgrade! Oh, okay.
Yeah, something like that.
That was a weird voice I made right there.
That was more like... Snarf and something else mixed together.
Some of the other reviews coming out that I'm excited about, the two villains in this one are Troy and Tyreen, the Calypso twins. And they're basically the equivalent of YouTubers from the future that remind all their followers to like, follow, and obey during all the broadcasts. And they want to take over all the vaults and get all this power for them. That was the other drawback I saw from some of the reviews. They said that these two villains don't add as much to the story as Handsome Jack did.
Well, and that's the thing. So I feel like when you add two villains kind of like that, sometimes it kind of takes away from the story, because that's kind of what one of the Far Cries did, was they added two villains rather than one. Mm. And it was just, they bounced back and forth. And it doesn't have the same, I think, pull as it, you know, that same personal touch as if one villain's coming after you. And Handsome Jack was a good villain.
Yeah, I mean, that's when he was that lightning rod, and he made you and everybody hate him. And he was the epitome. It was like the punk rock version of everything, because on Pandora, you've got the bandits that are running crazy. You've got the Crimson Raiders, or this one organized group that are trying to fight for a little bit of peace and justice. And then you have all the rich D-bags living on a moon base who have more money than they know what to do with and take advantage of everybody else. So it's really easy to hate the big guys there. It's really easy to jump on that bandwagon.
When we say Pandora, we don't mean the streaming music station, the jewelry, or the box. That's the name of the planet. With Hyperion and all that jazz. And that's another thing that we didn't even touch base on, is what makes Borderlands unique, that a lot of games I feel are kind of trying to go down that road, is the weapons.
Yeah.
Is all the customizable weapons, the really random ones that do certain damage this way,
And everything has customizability. You can add things onto the weapon ornaments and upgrades and stuff like that. I think, didn't they say that if you take the combination, this one could technically be over 1 billion different guns could be in this game?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Something drastic. I want the gun that has the legs.
We got guns that shoot guns with legs. Yeah. Yep, we got them.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see how that works.
And there's all kinds of crazy bullet effects in the different companies that make the guns. Do different effects. So the one brand, I forget the name of it now, but it makes the elemental effects. They don't do as much damage, but they can also have a chance to melt through armor or electrocute the person you're shooting or something like that. Another one has rounds that chase people around buildings, or grenades that pop off, or guns that can be turned to basically a sniper rifle that's also a shotgun. Like,
well, some of them too have, like, some of the, that's again where the good writing comes in, is some of the guns are jokes mm-hmm. in themselves. You read it and you're like, what? You know, has a 0.001 chance of killing the user. I'll take that chance.
Yeah, that's one thing that I didn't do with Borderlands 2 that I'm upset about. Like, when I played, when I was leveling up in there, when I was grinding, I only switched guns about every 10 levels or so. I got a couple guns that I liked, and I just kept those until they were just obsolete, and then I got a couple of new ones. But once I got later, I'm like, no, it's fun to just experiment, because some of the guns do some crazy stuff that you're like, why would I ever need... Oh, that could come in handy right there. I've got rubber bullets that come back like boomerangs from this hallway right here. Cool.
Well, that's the thing, too. Is it's like, it's the same thing with Destiny, where you get guns that do certain damage, but once you're a higher level, even though you really like that gun, it's not going to do nearly as much damage as you need it to keep going. So, and I think I'm like you. I got stuck on some ones that I really liked because the way they fired and everything. And same thing with Destiny, but I'm like, man, I'm not doing a lot of damage. I got to switch it up.
Mm-hmm.
And then the boss battles are crazy. That's one thing that made me mad in the first one. I came to appreciate it, I guess, in the second one. But it's not as fun when you're playing by yourself, because if you're fighting a boss by yourself and you die and you go back to fight that same boss, it gets all of its health back.
Yeah.
And I think that's what made me mad most mm-hmm. about the first one. But when you're playing with friends, as long as you all don't get wiped, then it's fine.
Well, I'm excited with this new game, because this could be hearsay. This is me reading Reddit strands and internet rumors about this. But supposedly, when you're doing multiplayer in Borderlands 3, they figured a way to adjust it where it's scalable as far as levels. So in Borderlands 2, if you were level 25 and I was level 5, I just basically sat next to you and tried not to get shot while you killed things, and I got experience points for it, but I couldn't do any damage.
Right.
Supposedly, when you're doing group battles and cooperative play, the enemies you're fighting are supposed to be scalable, and so is the loot. So if I'm level 5 and you're level 25 fighting together, we both still have a very similar chance of doing what we're going to do. But we can both still participate, and the loot drops at the end. The loot that I get, Destiny style, will be unique to my level, and the loot you get will be unique to you, so it makes a lot more chance of getting stuff you want rather than going around and killing a bunch of robots and finding gear that's 20 levels below you.
Well, hopefully they keep it too, where, because, I mean, remember when you, like, I had played a little bit before you, and then you joined in, and you leveled up real quick because, you know, because you were with me, and I was hosting the game rather than you host the game.
Yeah, and as long as I got a bullet on a bad guy, I got the experience points that you got for it.
Well, even still, I mean, I don't even think you had to shoot him, but it was one of those ones, like, if you were hosting the game, though, I could just mow through the enemies left and right, and you're like, yay, but I was getting all the lower-tiered gear, like you said. So, yeah.
So hopefully, again, I'm not 100% on that. We'll find out in a few hours, but that's what I've been reading about.
A few, you remember back in the day when we were young enough to go to a midnight launch?
I don't know. What would we look like now? We'd show up with, like, some orthopedic socks and a thermos of coffee and a pillow.
And a timer. I'm going to take a nap real quick.
Hey, fellow kids. We're here to play some Borderlands.
Youths!
And speaking of not having time for it, they also have the question asked of how long is the Borderlands game? Which, of course, is a very...
good question?
Well, good question, because it depends how good you are at things, how fast you go things, how many quests you go, blah, blah, blah.
Well, that's the thing, too, is Borderlands is an open-world game with a whole bunch of side quests.
Yeah. But the consensus on these reviews was that if you beat the game and go on a lot of, but not all of the side quests, you're looking at about 30 hours of straight-up gameplay. But then you can go back afterwards in Ultimate Vault Hunter mode and go back and do everything. There's all kinds of other side quests and added things and then DLC down the way, so...
That'll be exciting.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing, is like, I know a lot of people play the open-world games, and they just mainly do the story mode, and that's it.
Uh-huh.
And with Borderlands, you want to do the side stories, because you're going to miss out some funny humor.
Yeah, there's a lot of...
One of them in Borderlands 2, one of the side stories was you go up to this bandit, and he just wanted you to shoot him in the face. That was that simple. He's sitting there like, you know, come on, do it. And he's just mocking you, and then you do it. And it's like, hey, here's your gun. And you're like, wait, what?
Yes, there's some twisted stuff, but yeah, it's good. I also found some tips that I've been taking notes on, because one guy said, here's some things I wish I knew about the game before I started playing, which I feel like we'll be able to take advantage of some of these. You can fast travel to your vehicle anywhere. So they put the fast travel on where you go between worlds, but now you get off your vehicle, go through a long part for a side quest, and then when you're done with it, you don't have to fight way back through. You can just fast travel back to your vehicle. Apparently, he played quite a few levels where he realized that was the case. So it saves a lot of just the wasted time of, you run across here. Okay, you got to run across back now.
I think that's one reason why I lose interest in open world games sometimes, is because you have to go all the way across the map, and then if you don't have fast travel unlocked, you have to go all the way back.
That's why I couldn't handle Assassin's Creed 2 or 3, whichever one it was.
One was really bad about it.
Maybe it was the first one.
They started fixing it in the later ones.
Yeah, maybe it was the first one I tried playing. I'm like, what is this game? I've been riding on a horse for 22 minutes.
Where am I going? Well, they had fast travel in the second one, but it was at like certain
areas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Next tip this guy had was to always check your mail. Because after you complete quests, you get a notification you've received mail, but your mailbox isn't in a sensible place. You have to press escape and go to your social menu and read it. Mm-hmm. But in those email messages you get, there's all kinds of stuff where you can get new guns and cosmetics and skins and stuff like that you won't find out unless you check the mail.
Hmm.
I fear it's like Destiny Ingram type things.
Yeah, but Destiny at least tells you to check your mail.
Well, this says you've got a message, but it's just not part of the main game screen. You have to go back to the social part of it, so that's what his thing was. He also talks about the side quests will match your level. So after you beat the game, you go back and do all the side quests.
Mm-hmm.
The side quests will match the level you're at. So if you skip a side quest at level 5 and you go beat the game and then come back to do that, that side quest will match your current level, not be a level 2 quest to get you a level 2 weapon.
That's good.
Yeah. And it also says that once you're in the end game, is don't start the true Vault Hunter mode immediately.
Why not?
Because you can work through all 3 levels of Mayhem mode before you're in True Vault Hunter mode and get all kinds of, get up to your level caps and get all kinds of guns and gear, because as soon as you go to that True Vault Hunter mode, it makes things a lot harder to get.
If you're still listening, thank you. So they're all like, What are they talking about? Skill trees, level caps? What?
We know stuff. So we can move on from the game a little bit to talk to, we mentioned earlier, the cosplay.
The very first cosplay we ever did.
Uh-huh. Was Borderlands.
We put that together in what? A month?
Mm-hmm.
If that?
Yeah. And I look back and it was, compared to some of the pros of that, it was trashy, but for what we had to work with, we did a pretty dang good job.
What? Man, that was our first cosplay. That was our first Comic-Con. I mean, yeah, we've dressed up before. You know, we've done, what, we did Mortal Kombat for one of your parties or something like that. Everything
always
like that.
Dressed up at the start. That's what kind of started us down the, hey.
Yeah. Then Comic-Con comes along and we're like, let's do something. And we're like, let's do Borderlands. Man, that was a, just throwing everything together. Not too bad. You know, for a first time, we definitely improved on it with adding cell shading and, you know, me upgrading my mask from a Party City mask. So,
and if you don't have to take our words for it, you can go to some of the cosplay pages we have on our website. And almost every con, we find a few Borderlands cosplayers that we geek out over. But if you just go to Instagram or Facebook or something like that and search some of the Borderlands cosplayers out there and some of the work they're doing. Some of the new ones that are doing the cel-shaded, like, foam hair helmets and things, they look like they stepped out of the game. It's awesome.
What's the name of the one that did the Tiny Tina on Instagram?
Was that Labina K?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, again, that's amazing.
Let's give her a real shout-out. You talk, I'll look her up here.
Right. Well, the thing is, too, is you shared, or somebody shared, or we shared rather, you found it, but the video from Dragon Con with all those Borderlands cosplayers that were, it looked like they were actually, like, the cell shading on that, I'm just looking at them like, wow.
it's Lebanek. I think it's Cannibal with a K spelled backwards. But she does a lot of good cosplays, and she has the one that she made her tiny. You shut up. I can read stuff. But she did this whole cosplay. She made the full rabbit with the rocket, like 6-foot-tall rocket last time. And now she's upgrading a new one to do the new, slightly older Tiny Tina as well. And it's phenomenal work.
Yeah. And I'm excited to see, because of that one guy that already, somebody cosplayed one of the new characters. He spent what, like 30 hours on it or something like that?
Well, it's one of those things, because when you do a Borderlands, if you do a Borderlands right with the cell shading stuff, you look like you're a walking cartoon. So you're a hit and you stand out at any convention. And Gearbox and Borderlands are very smart, because not only are they making characters that are cosplayable, they're encouraging it. They actually have online guides for all the main characters on the website of the new one, of cosplay guides where it shows 360-degree different pictures and all, you know, close-up details of the guns and stuff, just for people to make costumes modeled after.
Which is genius.
Mm-hmm. It's brilliant. If people are going to do it, why not help them do it right?
Well, because how hard of a time did we have when we were sitting there trying to, like, Google images for some of the cosplays that we did, trying to go in like, what?
Yeah, screenshot something from Borderlands 2 and crop in and zoom in. I think those are pixels, right? Yeah.
What does that look like? And like the fact that they're actually like, here's what each gun looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what this costume looks like.
They even have the color palettes of the main colors of this character. They literally have the colors with what hex code the colors are used for. I'm like, thank you, Gearbox. You know, bravo.
You done good.
Mm-hmm. They did so good that I bought all the whole new series of the Borderlands toys. So.
I saw that.
But they're going to put out lots more, because they didn't have any of the... they only had two new ones.
Yeah, they're going to do a lot more.
I know.
You know they will.
Curse you, McFarlane. Give me my money back.
You don't want your money back.
I do, but I don't want to give these back. And another piece of Borderlands that I'm excited about, which I'm not holding my breath for... And it's not at launch, but from what the creators have said on Twitter, is that cross-platform play is one of the goals to be available,
quote,
as soon as possible.
As soon as possible means like 5 years, 10 years down the road.
But if they could do that, like just being able to play, because, I mean, I don't know about you, but lots of people I know play stuff that have, oh, there's somebody that's got a PlayStation, no, they're PC gamers, and... it's tough to find a group of people that have the same platform and the same game that are all at the same time. I mean, even us, outside of when we were both on Xbox all the time, when was the last time we actually got to play together on a game?
A couple months ago, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm. So just having that possibility of cross-platform play, I mean, and then if they have it on the Switch or the Stadia, I could bring it with me and do it other places.
I don't think the Switch can handle Borderlands.
If they go to the cloud gaming, it might.
Maybe. I don't know.
They're putting Overwatch on it.
Well, that's a little bit different. That's not as high demanding on the frame rates and everything like that.
Yeah, but... I can hope, can't I?
Yeah, you sure can. Keep that hope. For Myth, I thought you were going to say they were going to do a Borderlands movie, and I was like, that's not going to work. I think this is one video game that absolutely should not be made into a movie. Because unless they kept the art style the same...
I was going to say, I could see an animated movie where they just basically turn the cutscenes and create a two-hour-long story with the same animation voice actors and create a story out of it.
Right, but I don't...
not real actors.
I don't think...
Not live action.
No, I still don't think it would work, even if they did that. I mean, like, the Telltale series, the Choose Your Own Adventure one, that worked as an offhand thing to it, but I don't know. I mean, they could probably do, like, a mini-series, and that might work better than a movie. But I don't know. That's just me.
I'd watch me some Tiny Tina. Tiny Tina's Playhouse.
Like Pee-wee Herman. Okay, that might be... That might be pretty funny.
Cherry!
That was creepy. That was really creepy.
Yeah. So is Borderlands, but...
So should we go stand in line now?
You know what? I'm going to... Let's go order in line. Just get a digital download.
Right. Get it already.
So that about wraps it up for this. We'll keep it short because if you aren't a fan of Borderlands, you probably stopped listening a while ago. And if you are a fan, you're probably like, screw this, I'm going to go play it right now.
Yeah.
So, we're going to do the same thing. Borderlands 3 comes out tonight, so by the time you listen to this, it will already be out. Let us know what you think. If you're playing it, what do you think? What's good? What's bad? What could be better? What could be worse?
Man, can you imagine if we had... I'm just thinking back to when we were kids and we wanted to play games and we had to wait till it launched and then we had to drag our parents to the store, at least beg and beg and beg until they actually took us to the store to get the game. Now it's just like, and... Oh, it's time to download it. That's it.
Yeah, it's time to down... Oh, man. All right, it's downloaded. It's time to install it. Oh, you're killing me.
It has an update already.
Thanks for installing this brand new game. There's a 2.4 gigabyte patch to download before you can play.
Right. You now have to wait 1 hour.
Connection interrupted.
Ugh.
All right, so if you can tell, we're a little excited about the game. So let us know what you think at Get Geekish. And this is Derek Combino saying we'll talk at you next week.